put it on mute. Wow.
How did I manage that? I don't know. Y'all doing all right today? Rainy and kind of nasty out, but it's still awesome inside, and I'm glad that y'all are here. I'm excited about the series that we're in. You know, just what God called me to in this year is like he gave me the word for the church, and it's really now the series, which is Connect. And this series is called Connected, Understanding God's Plan Together. And if you've been here for any length of time or you know me at all, you also know I love the Old Testament. Like, I love the New Testament is really great. It reminds me of the Old. I just love the Old Testament. But in October, God gave me a word for the year, which was Connect. And then he very clearly showed me that I needed to preach out of the book of Acts, which is a great book. And normally I'm like, man, can I preach out of the Old Testament? I love the Old Testament so much. But I think there's a really simple explanation of what happens in the book of Acts. Like, the book of Acts shows us what happens when we connect. And really, we connect to God and we connect to other people. And this series is on five things that I pray that we can connect to. First, to the place of God. And you may be saying, oh yeah, like a church, like I get it, you're the pastor, like yeah, church, uh-huh. That's the secondary. The first place I want you to connect is like, where is your place with God? Like I know where it is for me, where I'm spending time with God, because that's what I want you to connect with, a consistency in the place that God has called you to. I know where it is for me. I have my primary place in my house, and if that's not, I'm not able to be there, I've got a secondary place in my house. But I know where I'm supposed to spend time with God. So I want you to connect. We already talked about this a couple weeks ago. I want you to connect with God. What's the place that he's called you to? And church is important. Like Psalm 68:6 is for real. It's one of my life verses. It says, God makes a home for the lonely. God calls us and he sets us in homes. And people think that they join churches, but the reality is that if we'll listen to God, he'll speak to us and he will show us where we are supposed to be joined, because God sets us in families. So I want you to be, here's the five things. Here's the first one: be connected to the place of God. The second thing I want you to be connected to is the people of God. I want you to be connected to the people of God, because you cannot do life. Actually, you can. You can do life alone. And it's miserable. It's not fun. I mean, I'll be honest, when I'm around a lot of people for a long bit of time, like, I'm very, very glad to be alone. Isn't that kind of nice sometimes? Is it? Come on, tell me I'm not. No, I'm not crazy. I don't care what other people say, and that doctor didn't know anything. No, I'm joking. It was my dad, so no. You know, yesterday my wife and all four of my kids went to a child's birthday party. And as much as I love people, children's birthday parties aren't necessarily the most fun. Right? I heard the new trend is like for never mind, I'm not going to say that. Probably be funny, though. But my wife would be, you don't need to talk like that. You don't need to say that. Anyway, so they went to this birthday party, and we had had guests that stayed with us the night before, some really close friends from New Orleans, and they stayed with us. And so I cooked an amazing dinner for them on Friday night, and then... Saturday, I cooked a big breakfast for them, and then I came up here for a little bit, and then I cooked again for Pastor Josh. Where's Pastor Josh? So I've been fasting. I found the oddest thing. Like, this today for me is the last day of the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and so I've been eating one relatively healthy meal a day, and I've found that I've cooked more than I ever have. Is that not true, babe? I have cooked more. Like, if you are hungry, I will feed you when I'm on a fast, apparently, because it is. I'm like, tell me how it tastes. How is it? Can you describe that for me? Really? Is that good? Because, I don't know. So I cooked, and I cooked lunch for Pastor Josh. He came over, and I fed him some amazing tacos, fried egg tacos with pico that I made and guacamole. I love Mexican food. It's my favorite in the world. And then my wife and kids were leaving to go to this birthday party. He's like, I bet you're going to leave as soon as they're gone. I'm like, I like being alone sometimes. And they were gone for, 4 or 5 hours, huh? But by the end of it, I'm like, Where are they at? I'm waiting for them to get back. Because it's not fun to do life alone, because God's called us to be in the place where he's called us to be and with the people that he's called us to be. I want you to connect to the place of God. I want you to connect to the people of God. I also want you to connect to the power of God, which is what we're talking about today. In the next 2 weeks are the purpose of God and the plan of God. My heart for you is that you are connected to the power of God in your life. And so we're looking at the book of Acts, and we're going to go back to the very beginning of Acts. And Acts was written by Luke, and he was a follower of Jesus. There's a gospel, the gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the same Luke that is writing now to his friend Theophilus, that we're just going to call Theo. So he's writing to his buddy Theo to let Theo know this has been some years since Jesus died on the cross, and then he rose again, and he was, for 40 days, he was with people that he knew and loved him, and he loved them, and then they saw them. There were over 500 eyewitnesses. There's documentation of Jesus being alive after he died on the cross. He came back to life, and then ultimately he ascended back into heaven. And so St. Luke is writing to his friend Theo and saying, hey, I want you to know exactly like what happened and like how powerful Jesus is. And this is where we pick up the book of Acts. So let's look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, Theo, which is the Gospel of Luke, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. During the 40 days, so now we're talking the 40 days after he suffered and died, so he's risen again. He appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. So Jesus proved that he didn't stay dead. He rose again, and all of his fellow believers saw that, like his closest followers. They saw that he was actually alive. And Luke is writing to Theo saying, hey, Theo, like I can prove it. Like, here it is. Let me show you what happened. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Look at verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, this is Jesus speaking, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. Let me just say this. There are often times where we want God to show up. Like, we want him to show up. Jesus told his disciples, hey, you don't need to leave Jerusalem. He tells them he's going away, but he says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. He's told them to stay. And this word is so important. Do not leave Jerusalem. What's that word? Until. Until. Listen, we have to be okay in the waiting. And this message is about the power of God in our lives. And the reality is that just like these disciples, we often find ourselves in the place where we're waiting on God to show up. Like, God, where are you? Like, where are you at? Where are you at? God, it would be a great time for you to show up. It would be awesome for you to show up right now. But can I just say, just because you want God to show up in your timeline doesn't mean that he's going to. And the reality is that much of the Christian life is waiting. You know, when I went to Israel, what struck me more than anything else was how much time Jesus spent walking. He lived in Nazareth on modern roads, that is 92 miles from Jerusalem. And three times a year, Jesus and his whole family had to pack up everything on trails, on like what was a road, but we'd call it a trail today, maybe a trail that's maybe, you know, wide enough for at most two like horses with you know, a cargo little wagon thing to pass. They had to walk on trails 92 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem for a festival and then walk back. They did that as a family three times a year. That's a lot of walking. Three times a year. Jesus's ministry, like we read the Gospels and like where's Matthew 10? He's going to go to Matthew 10 because I know Matthew 8 and 9, actually, where he's healing. This is all like Jesus healing, and you see all these massive miracles. It's amazing. But what you don't see is the weeks and months and ultimately years he spent on the road walking. And we read the highlight reel, and like, well, God, why did you show up like you did in the Old Testament? Well, if you're willing to walk 300 miles over the course of the next, I don't know, 6 months, what would people ask you what you've been doing? God may show up in a huge, miraculous way. I've been mainly walking. We have to walk through this Christian life recognizing that it's in God's timeline when he shows up. He was eating with them. He commanded, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. Verse 5. And Jesus says this, talking about the power of God and the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so we know that when John baptized people, it was for repentance of sin. But when we see people who are filled and immersed in the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, they've already repented. They're not full of sin. They're full of the Holy Spirit. And what happens is pretty cool. Look at verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, and this is key, I want you to get this. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? This is important that this question is there. Here's why. Because I really believe that we are, I don't want to say programmed, but oftentimes we think that the power of God looks a certain way. And this is the question that they're asking. So if we understand, like, Jesus has died, he's come back to life, he's spent 40 days with his disciples, and he's telling them, hey, I'm going to go away, I'm gone, but like the Father's just wait in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit is coming. And their response is, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore our kingdom? It's not an odd question. Jesus is saying, like, the Spirit is coming. You're going to be baptized. You've been baptized in water. That's what John did. But you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And their question is, hey, Jesus, like, this is what I want to know. Like, here's the thing. Like, the Roman Empire is oppressing us. Like, we are an occupied land. Like, this, like, we control, like, the Romans tax us. They make us work for them. Like, they're living here. All the Roman soldiers are here. They tell us what to do. They're the one who make the laws. And we just happen to live underneath it. We're an oppressed people. Jesus, is this, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore? I can't, you know what they're saying? Hey, Jesus, like, you're talking about this power, like, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, like, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like, does that mean that you're gonna come back and you're gonna whoop the behinds of all these Romans? You're gonna kick them out and you're gonna start your new kingdom? This is what they're asking. Because here's what they saw Jesus in power doing as the Messiah still. Affecting them in a political and even militaristic sense. Like, they wanted, like, the practicals of, like, all right, we're an oppressed people. You're the Messiah. Shouldn't you be coming back to free us from all the oppression? And what's the answer to that? Yeah, he was, but not in the way that they thought. Not in the way that they thought. Verse 7, he addresses this question. And he addresses it by nullifying it. The Father alone, Jesus replies, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. That's all he says. He's like, you don't even know that. Don't even worry about that. And why is this important for us? Jesus in Acts 1 is saying that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's gonna baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's gonna be a gift that's been promised. And they're like, that's great. Free us from this oppression and get these occupying Romans out of our life. And Jesus says, and when they ask, are you doing that? He's like, listen, the Father knows the answer to that. You don't need to know. Why is that important? Are y'all tracking with me here? I feel like y'all not tracking. Are you tracking with me? Here's why it's important. Because so often we are focused on the external oppressions in our life that we don't recognize that the greater value is that we can walk in freedom from a spiritual, demonic, dark, and internal oppression that afflicts a lot of people. Yes. The Father alone has the authority. You don't need to know that. And then he comes back with verse 8, which is huge. And then he says this. He says, but you. And he shifts everything. Now they're asking, well, is that when you're going to come back? And like all these Romans are going to be gone? Like we're going to have like our own country and like we're not going to be oppressed by the Romans and their laws and their customs. And they're not going to tell us what to do and they're not going to tax us and they're not going to make us house their soldiers. And he's like, you need to worry about that. Here's what you need to worry about. This is what he says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So this is a shift. This is a shift in thinking. And just as Jews back then and Jews today go, man, when the Messiah comes, like when the Messiah comes, he's going to come and he's going to set things right in this world. And he's going to get rid of those that oppress others. And he's going to destroy the oppressors. Like there's not going to be this horrificness. And so when Jesus died on the cross, part of the reason that his disciples were so shook was that they knew he was the Messiah, and yet he died. How could that happen if he's the Messiah? Because they're still living in oppression. Y'all following me here? It's the same reason that Jews today will say, well, Jesus, he was really a good prophet and everything he taught was yes, but like he couldn't have been the Messiah because he didn't free us from the oppression. And they're waiting. I want you to understand, this is how big it is. They're waiting for the Messiah to come and free them from oppression. When the Messiah shows up, everything's going to be different. And Jesus says, yeah, but I got something for you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is what I want you to get, is that if we're not careful, we'll go, Jesus, you got to come and change this situation. Jesus, you got to fix everything. Jesus, you got to help us out here because it's messed up. Where are you at, Jesus? And Jesus is waiting for you to trust him and know that you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, his power, not your own. His power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be his witnesses telling people about him everywhere you go. And he tells these specific people right here in Jerusalem, right where you are, you're going to go, baby. And throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus says. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so here's what I want you to get today. I've got just a couple points, but I want you to understand this, that experiencing God's power and being connected to God's power are two totally different things. Can I show you the difference? Connected to God's power is a different thing than experiencing God's power. Y'all ready? Sir. Okay. Hey, we got our guys back here ready to roll. Can y'all come up? Thank you. Well, all right. Give this young man a hand. He's awesome. Thank you. You can make me haul it the rest of the way. I don't want to screw anything up. All right. And now I need that thing. Thank you. Y'all ready? What? Why would I do that? Shower, angle, flat, full, jet. We were put in a garden, and God was painting a picture. And that's experiencing God's power. That's really weak. Y'all give me some. No, we good? Okay. It was more. How am I going to spray anybody? See? I didn't get you, did I? Did I get you, Jasmine? Good. y'all know how tempting this is up here? Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Where's Jet? I'm going to see if it does it at all. Oh, that's good stuff. I'm not going to do that, though. My wife's going to fuss at me after this, but only if I get... I'm not going to get her. Y'all think I'm not stupid. You don't get married for 22 years to squirt your wife on Sunday morning, do you? Oh, she's just looking at me like, you better not going to kill you. So here's the thing. experiencing God's power is we're the plant, and we find ourselves in a place where we're dry, where we feel like we can't go on, like everything's just sucking out of us, and like this is experiencing God. And like, I want that for everybody, but let me tell you right now, the greater call on your life is not for you to simply be in the place where you are experiencing God, because we all are the plant. But let me tell you what God's called us to be. He's called us to be the hose. We're the hose. That's who we are. Like, he wants to use you to flow through you. That put Acts 1:8 back up there, because here's what we got to get. You will receive power. Listen to me. It's not your power. It's not your power. It's him. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be the witnesses. In other words, you're just the conduit through which the life-giving stream of the truth of freedom that comes from Jesus. This is you. And we're called to live full, but not full of ourselves. I want you to be connected. You're the hose. Like, we are the plant, but we can choose to be the hose. And so here's what I've got. I've really got 2 points. I've put a third one in there because it sounds nice, you know, to have 3 points and all. And it's a good one, but I only got 2 things, and I'm going to share them with you right now. To be connected to the power of God, here's what you got to do. You must be able and willing to receive. You have to be willing to receive. You have to be willing and able to receive. You have to receive the life of Christ in your life. That this has to water your soul. Remember, we are the plant, but God's heart for us is not simply to be a plant that just continues to grow, but that we bear fruit. Like, there's things in our life, and when we bear fruit, we really do become like the hose, because this is what brings the life-giving water, and that's what God has for each of us here. So when we're connected to him, his goal is not for us to perpetually stay in a place of like, oh, just rain on me, God. Not at all, because when you are living a life that is full of God's Spirit, he uses you. That's why Jesus said, but you will what? Can we put verse 8 back up there? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power, not yours, his, so that you can be a witness. That means a conduit, that God's going to use you. And now we're going to go back, but you have to be able and willing to receive. Most people want to be used by God. Most people want to receive from God. But you have to be both able and willing. I'll be honest, many, many, many people are willing. I want to receive from you, but they're not able to. They're not able to because they're full of themselves. And truthfully, when we choose our way over God's, we're full of sin. That is all sin is. I choose my way over God's way. That's its essence. I choose my way, my pride, my decision, my will. That's why Jesus in the garden said, not my will be done, but yours. I'm just going to read them from my Bible. I can find it. My hands are kind of wet. There we go. Psalm 66. David writes, I cried out to him, said, come and listen, and you'll hear all who fear God, and I'll tell you what he did for me. I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen, and he paid attention to my prayer. Isaiah 59:1-2. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. I'd rather y'all not have them up there. I just want to read it. Y'all can look them up. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. Nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and he will not listen anymore. These are not meant to be heavy and hard. I want you to understand that if you choose to continually operate in sin, you're choosing your way. And you can't have it both ways. And any healthy, this is not like, oh, God's such an oppressive God. This is any healthy relationship. It can't be my way and never like anybody, like it's my way or the highway. Let me tell you, you're going to be on a very lonely desert highway. It's going to be your highway, but nobody's going to want to do anything with you because all you're concerned about is yourself. And any healthy relationship is not based on your way and only your way and never anybody else. When we choose our way in our life, we are saying, God, I got this and I don't need you. If you've ever been around people who like can't, like they don't want to hear anything from anybody, are they fun to be around? No. And when they say stuff, after a few times of seeing how they operate, what do? I mean, you may be there and you're like, You're not going to listen to nothing they're saying. You know why? Because all they are is wrapped up in themselves. And many people, can we put B, they have to be, we have to be, if we're going to be connected to the power of God, put that, we have to be able and willing to receive. Many Christians, this is what I've found, they're willing. They want, like, I want to receive, but we have to be able to, which means we have to get in the place where we are choosing his way and not our way. This is hard. This is a hard word, and I get it, but it's so true. I want you to receive from God. I want to receive from God. But if I'm wrapped up in myself and in my way, I'm not going to be able to. Jesus prayed, Father, not my will be done. Jesus had this struggle. His flesh, the human side of him, said, oh, I want to do it my way, but not my way. Yours, God. And many people find themselves in that same place. Like, I just want to receive, but I have trouble. I can't hear anything. Can I just tell you? When you say, I'm going to choose your way, can I just remind you that you can walk in freedom from sin and doesn't have to control you. The enemy traffics in darkness. That's where he moves. The enemy traffics in darkness. And if there's areas of darkness in your life, you're giving place for patterns of sin to take root. And I believe that you are here because you don't even want that. But you have to bring that darkness to light. And you need to ask God for forgiveness. Guess what? He forgives. And then James 5 says that when we confess to people, there's healing that takes place. Drag that into the light. Why? Because I believe that people really want to receive from God, but they're unable to oftentimes because they're either full of sin or they lack faith. But a specific type, it's a consistent type where we just keep going. And this is where I turn to James. If you need wisdom, ask a generous God. He's going to give it to you. He won't rebuke you. But when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea and is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. What is it that, and I'm not saying this to be ugly or mean or like God doesn't want you. He loves you and he desperately wants you to know him. But you have to be willing to turn from your way, and you have to believe that he is who he says he is to receive. Are you able? I'm going to go back to Acts 1, where they waited. They didn't know how long they were going to wait, but they waited, and they waited, and they waited. Listen to me. I know this, that if you seek God, you'll find him. That's why this word's so powerful. Everybody wants a word from God. They want a word from God, and I get it. I understand exactly why, because when God speaks, it's pretty powerful. And I've often wondered, you know, God woke me up in the middle of the night for this message, by the way. Like, I didn't have a message, and I like to know how things are going to go. Anybody else like that? And so normally by the end of October, I know all of my message series for the entire next year. I just like that. It's nice. It's comforting. Doesn't mean that we don't change it, you know, but I know, I have all 12 months mapped out. And that did not happen this year, not because I didn't want it to or because I didn't try, but like God's been like messing with me. Like, really? Like, I'm like, this is the sixth week that I've been like, okay, Lord, like normally it's pretty easy for me to write a message. And then like now I'm like not getting anything. And then he's given me something kind of last minute. And like, I think it was on Tuesday night or Monday night. It was Tuesday night. In the middle of the night, I'm sleeping and I wake up and like, I just got 2 points that he gave me that he wanted me to speak. And it was out of all of this. And that first one was this: we have to be able and willing to receive. Listen, if I'm operating in patterns of sin in my life, and listen, we may sin repeatedly, but there's a difference between a moment of the flesh where we find ourselves like, ah, God, I can't believe it. Father, forgive me, and a willful decision to go into a place where we know that the enemy is there and it's dark and we do it anyway. That he's able, though. I want you to be able to receive, but when we choose that instead of God's way, guess what? After a while, he's like, all right, I'm just going to leave you to your thing because clearly that's what you want. And that's a scary place, and I don't want to be there, and I don't want you to be there. I want you not just willing to receive. Everybody wants God. Can I remind you that you have as much of God as you want? But it's only to the degree that you're willing to turn that you're able to receive as much of God that you want. That's hard. And I'm not trying to preach ugly. I just want you to be able to receive. Biblical truth. When you let go of your way and your hands open, it's only then that you can receive. That's also, by the way, of just very practical truth in general. I had to learn it the hard way because it hurts an awful lot when things get pried from your hands, doesn't it? Be able and willing to receive. Here's the next thing. We have to be able and willing to give. Able and willing to give. Hey, where'd the hose go? I need the hose. I need the hose. Where the hose at? Seriously, I need my hose. I'm not done. I never said take the hose out, take the hose back. Where it at? Thank you. Oh, it's because it's leaky, huh?
Yes.
It's leaky. Here, pull on that door. Well, let it leak, baby. It's all right. Electricity and water don't mix?
Yeah.
You gonna prove it?
Yeah.
No. So, like, we want to receive. We feel like we get a little dribble, right? Why is that? What's in the hose? Oh, that's not even on shower. That'd have been bad for some people. That'd have been me sleeping on the sofa. It's kind of pointed at my wife. So the kink is, listen to me, the kink is sin. Get the kinks out of your life so that you can be the hose. Whew, that's kind of scary. Come on, undo it. There we go. There. Whew, it's surprising. I'm just going to put it right here. This thing kind of waterproof. That's why they put it down. We didn't have that first service. But we have to be able and willing to give. If there's a kink, you're only going to be able to give a little bit because you're only going to be able to receive a little bit. I hope this is a picture of what sin does in our lives. God doesn't say, like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, because he's a killjoy. He understands where life comes from, and it comes from him. Come on now, he created the world. Maybe we can get outside of our and I don't say this condemningly at all, but like, I think it's important that we get outside of our man-made structures on occasion, that we get outside of our Lexus and Toyota and Ford cages, and we look up at the sky and realize where life came from. And when we choose our way over God's, this is about all we get. Just enough to survive. And lots of people feel that way. If you're unable to receive, like, I'm not able to receive from God. Jesus said this. He said, seek and you'll find. Knock, the door will be opened. Ask, it'll be given to you. And you get it. The same is with giving. You have to be able, which means you have to be full of him and not yourself. And you have to be willing to give. Here's what happened when Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Acts 2 takes place. In Acts 2, they're waiting in the place of God. They're waiting with the people of God, and they're waiting for, listen to me, they're waiting for the promise of power, but it hadn't shown up, and they didn't know what it was going to look like. They're still probably thinking that there's going to be like this physical Messiah in Jesus coming back, but he's told them about the Holy Spirit. And so they're waiting in Acts chapter 2, and they're in this room all together, and it's kind of a worship and prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, like, the presence of God fills the room. And it says it's like a rushing, roaring wind comes in, like, and then they look, and they're looking at each other, and they see, and I don't know if it was for real or if it was just looked like it, but it's like flames of fire above their head. And I imagine that they probably went, oh, man, that's crazy. Look at that. What's going on? Y'all hear that? But when they opened their mouths to speak, they were speaking in a different language. And it just so happened to coincide with the high point of the festival. And it was a festival where Jews from all over the world came in once a year for this festival. This was required. So you literally had Jerusalem packed with people. Literally thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews from all over the world, many of whom who were born in foreign countries but were Jews culturally and religiously. They worshiped God, but they spoke a different language. So they're waiting, and then the sound in the room, they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up so that they can receive power, but they don't know what that looks like. And they see these flames. They open their mouths, and they start speaking, and they're in different languages. And they're like, what do we do with this? I don't know. They can't understand each other. They don't know what they're saying. And they walk out of, they walk out into Jerusalem packed with people. And when they begin to speak, people are like, whoa, some guy from Iran's like, that guy's speaking Farsi. And somebody from Ankara is saying, they're speaking Turkish. And what they're speaking is the truth about who Jesus is. And that day, literally, like, thousands and thousands of people hear this. Some people think that they're drunk, but others are going, no, I'm hearing these people speak in my own native dialect. And then Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, steps up. The Peter who had denied Jesus. The Peter who was always opening his mouth and putting his foot in his mouth. And he steps up, and he begins to speak about the truth of Jesus. And that day, over 3,000 people have a revelation of who Jesus is. All because somebody said, it's pretty awesome that I was the plant, but I chose to be the hose. Here's the thing. Most people are able to give. You have the ability. You have the ability to be used by God. You have the ability, when you open your mouth, for him to use you. You, listen to me carefully, you have that ability. People may, in receiving, struggle because they're doing their own thing, but let me tell you, when you've received from God, you have the ability to give. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to trust God? And you may say, but I can't do it. I don't know. I don't think I can do it. Let me just tell you right now, you need to stop worrying about that. Because when you trust God and you know that he is with you and you step out, he's going to give you the words to speak. These people didn't even know what they were saying. They're just like, oh my gosh, God did something in me and I'm gonna step out. And he used them. And listen to me, where you feel like you can't give, I'm telling you, you are able. The question is, are you willing? And the number of people that are scared, what if I fail? Can I just tell you, and I seldom talk about money, but the number of people that are in financial problems, and it's not because God doesn't want to bless them, but I'm telling you, like, I have to make it a priority that my money's not my own. My house isn't my own. My cars aren't my own. I have to regularly pray these things. I pray, Lisa and I pray regularly. God, thank you for our children. Thank you for Christopher. Thank you for Nicholas. Thank you for Aubrey. Thank you for Eric. We love them and we love you, but God, we give them back to you because they're not ours anyway. Father, thank you for the house that you've given us, the cars that you've given us. Lord, thank you for your blessings and we give them back to you. We give them back to you. And let me just tell you, I have to be willing to give. Stop holding on to I'm scared. What if I step out and speak and I look like so foolish? You can speak and God will use you. He used all of these people who didn't even know what they were saying, and God used them. God's gonna use you. You can lead a small group. You can pray for the person in Walmart. You can take muffins to your neighbor and make a difference if you know that God's with you, because when you receive, you're able to give. The question is, are you able to receive and are you willing to give? This is convicting for me. And this is a guy who likes his messages structured out a year. And I got 2 points on Tuesday night and sweated all week going, God, you got to help me with something. You got to help me with something. And this is what he's given me. And it was him. This isn't even me. I have to be able to receive, walk in holiness. And I have to be willing to give. And the last thing is I have to be present. That means I recognize that God wants to use me right now. When he showed up to Moses, the burning bush in the Old Testament, and he said, Moses, I'm gonna use you to deliver my people from slavery. And Moses had this whole list of reasons why that was a bad idea and that he couldn't use him. And then he says, yeah, but who am I gonna say sent them? Like, what's your name? And God's response is epic. It translates best into English is God saying, I will be what I will be. And we translate that in most translations as I am. Tell them that the I am, that I'm going to be what I'm going to be, because God's concerned with your present. And if you focus on the past or you focus on the future, you're often going to miss what God wants to do in you right now. And maybe you're here and you need to know God's calling you to be able to receive and willing to give. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, this message is for me. And I'm going to do two parts of it. Maybe you're here and you have trouble receiving from God. Maybe you're here and you know that there's some areas of darkness that the enemy is trafficking in and you hate it. Even the Apostle Paul, St. Paul said, man, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Who's going to save me from this? And then he says, Jesus. Maybe you're here and you know the enemy is doing everything he can to traffic in darkness in your life. And you've, because of that, you know that you've bent that way and that there's some areas where you need to turn to Jesus and turn from your sin. If you're here and say, Pastor, there's some sin things I need to deal with in my life right now. Nobody's looking, not the band, not the back. If you're here, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Father, I just pray right now there's a spirit of freedom, that God, that you just come, that there's an experience from you right now, that there's a washing away of the sin as they confess their sin to you. They ask for forgiveness and just ask right under your breath, say, God, forgive me, Jesus. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, he forgives us and he cleanses us. Father, I just pray that there's freedom. Lord, I just pray that you put people in their lives. As James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another so that you can be healed. I pray that you just bring people into their lives that they can confess that to, so that there's freedom. I just pray freedom right now in Jesus' name. You can put your hand out. And maybe you're here and you know that God's called you. Maybe you know that, listen, we believe God has created all of us to be ministers. We believe that every member here is a minister. And maybe you're here and you feel like you can't. Maybe you feel like you can't give. You can't give of yourself relationally, or you can't give yourself, you can't speak because of where you've been or because what you know you're about to walk through. And I'm just telling you right now, God will use you right here in the present. Maybe you're afraid with finances, like I want to be a financial blessing, but I can't. Listen to me, trust God, faith, trust God that he can use your mouth, he can use your hands, he can use your feet, he can use your resources. Maybe you're here and this is where you need to grow in faith. You need to know that you're able to give. If you're here and say, Pastor, pray for me, I just feel like sometimes I can't. That's you. Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Come on. I want to give. I want to do. I want to be that light. Raise them high. Come on. Raise them up. People halfway. Don't halfway. Father, I pray for those with their hands raised that you meet them. They surrender to you, and they know this truth in their surrender, that you lift them up, that it's you that orders their steps. Use them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, can we celebrate that?